Hello everyone, this is episode, episode 9, and it's a very special episode because this is my first one with a guest. It's my mate Tyrone. Hello Tyrone.
How you doing, Chris? Nice to meet you finally, after actually getting in touch with you online, becoming an Instagram buddy of mine. So
I
yeah,
was about
nice to
to
actually see
say
you in flesh.
yeah I was about to say it's like been known you for ages on Instagram. It feels like ages, and yeah, finally got around to meeting you.
Yeah,
So,
fantastic. No,
it's cool.
thanks for having me.
No, thank you for coming, because you've got something quite exciting in the pipeworks. But before we get to that, just sort of want to go back on your, because we know each other through running, just sort of what your background is with running. What have you done before in regards to races, and what's your sort of accolades really in regards to what you've done so far?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so my start into running was quite late in life. I'm now 42, and I've been running for 2.5 years. I say coming up to 2.5 years. And my running journey started out with an impulsive decision just to book a race. Now, before I booked this race, just to give you my running background, prior to that, I believe I was on Nike running app, and I had logged in 7 years a total of 134 kilometers. So that was my running experience. There wasn't much else other than that. And I decided that I was going to go straight into a 100 kilometer race. Now, I didn't know much about running at the time. It was an impulsive decision. It sounded like a great idea. I was like, that's just 100K. People are like, why don't you go and do a marathon first? I was like, no, everyone does marathons. Let's do 100K. And so, these people were speaking words of wisdom. These just weren't registering me at the time. I was like, no, 100K, I'm going to do it. So I booked it. And then it's like next day, I was like, okay, guess I better. Oh, by the way, I might add in, there was 2 months to train for this as well.
Oh,
By the way, so this was, yeah, I
wow.
gave myself to, yeah, that's really how little I know about running. Anyway, there was nothing that was going to stop me from doing that race. It was, yeah, I've made a decision, and once I make a decision, I know I'm going to go straight through and get on with it. So training started, and I very quickly went from a 0 kilometer a month runner to 300 kilometer a month runner, and that led to an injury, as a lot of experienced runners might realize. It's too much too quickly. Overloaded the body with far more than it can handle. What I actually learned was that the muscles can adapt quite quickly. Your cardiovascular system can adapt quite quickly. But what needs the time earned, strengthening, if you like, is the ligaments, the tendons. They don't quite adapt so quickly.
Of course.
And what I ended up doing was tearing my adductor, and it
Oof.
was to a point where I could, yeah, it was a struggle to even walk.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a month in. I had a month to go before the race, so I decided, look, let's just try my best to heal this up. I'm going to get to the start line and I'm going to do my best. I got to the start line and I ended up finishing at 57 kilometers, which for my first outing at a race, it was an experience. And I was disappointed, but a lot of people around me were like, no, you've just done 57K. I was like, no, I went for 100. Anyway, long story short, after that, I got home. I immediately booked 3 100K races that were in the months to come, got back into training and sort of went into it from there. I got the bug, as it were. It really became something I enjoyed, became passionate about. I was out, just getting out in the trails, getting out in the mountains, the fresh air. Where else do you want to be? Got more training in, got lots of smaller races in. Just back in the beginning of this year, April, I got my first 100 mile distance, and I got sub 24 hour on that, which was, I was elated to get that, sort of. So yeah, so in a 2.5 year period, I've logged up over 6,000 kilometers of running as a brand new runner. And I've done all that after the age of 40,
That's impressive.
so.
So before running, so you must have been fit before you started running to
Yeah.
just be able to do 57K straight off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that my fitness now is at its peak compared to you. I've always been active throughout my life. I've got a background in boxing. I started boxing at the age of 12, and that was something that was a consistent in my life all the way up into my early 30s.
Yeah.
I was a very busy amateur. I boxed in championship tournaments, ABAs, I boxed to the, boxed in England squad. I had a very decorated amateur career. It was a big part of my life. And then as I sort of got into my late 20s, early 30s, I started to do some sort of unlicensed fights. I had some amazing fights. But anyway, this is something that my weight, I'm a lightweight, and the lightweights start to sort of exit that sport earlier than the heavier weights, purely because of the speed. You can't keep the speed up.
Yeah.
So you've got younger fighters coming through. So anyway, that sort of saw me exit in that sport. Then I spent a few years messing around with CrossFit. And when I say messing around with CrossFit, well, it wasn't at a competitive level. It was more a group of friends that every Sunday we religiously trained. And it was amazing, some would get to the gym, they'd set a workout, we'd hammer it. There was nothing else in the week between that.
Yeah.
So that was the extent. So yeah, I kept a relative level of fitness throughout my, throughout my life. But I can confidently say all the time I spend in boxing right now, my fitness level is much higher than they were.
Yeah.
Even when I was in boxing.
Yeah.
It's this sport, you get out what you put in, and you can put a lot in.
Yeah.
So
one of the main reasons I wanted to get you on and talk is you've got a challenge coming up, the joggle, or is it the jog? Which way are you doing?
I am doing joggle.
Joggle.
Two reasons for that. No. So no, there's one reason for that. The one reason is that I live in the south, and just for anyone that isn't aware of what joggle is, that is Jono Groats, which is in Scotland, to Land's End, which is the most southerly point of the UK. It's typically, whilst there isn't a specific distance set to record a joggle or a jog run, the typical route is around 874 miles.
Wow. How are you going to break that up? Are you going to, what sort of mileage are you going to do daily, or?
I am working, the goal is to complete it within 16 days.
16 days.
To achieve the 16-day time cap, I am going to need to maintain just over 2 marathons a day.
Okay, cool. So, and are you staying at hotels each day, or are you camping, or have you got a van? How are you?
This is something that we're currently trying to work out. I'm working with a charity to try to raise funds for them, and we're sort of working. We're early days. We're dealing with their network and what they might be able to help put together for us. But it's going to be a mixture of whatever hotels are available at the time we can get. Obviously, to pay for 16 days worth of hotels is going to be quite pricey.
Yeah, you're looking
like mega bucks. So hopefully we can land. We can borrow a camper van or something to sort of tie us over for that period. So yeah, it's going to be a few uncomfortable nights, I think, regardless, no matter where I sleep.
Yeah. And is there a route, is it like a GPX route that you've already sort of looked at and think for, right, that's the one I'm going to follow, or is it?
I've looked at a few options for routes. Unfortunately, it seems to be no matter which way you go, you're going to be in a lot of traffic. The most direct route there is to get through on the roads and sort of dual carriageways. Mm. I've looked at what other runners have done, what routes they've taken. You've recently had Imo Abodi, and you had Dan Lawson, who I believe is the current record holder for the distance. I've looked at the routes they've taken. And then I've also weighed up the most frequently travelled route for that distance is the cycling route.
Right, okay, yeah.
And that is what I also believe is the 874.
Okay.
So, yes, we're not set in stone yet exactly the route we're going to take, but it's going to be...
Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys, my dog saw a pigeon and decided to interrupt. So, we were saying about the cycling route. That's the 874.
Yeah.
And that's the most frequently.
So within, within a certain radius, that would be roughly the path for travel.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I saw Imo, because I know Imo personally, and I followed her. And yeah, she actually came through Chester on her one, like just on the outskirts. Fantastic. Yeah, not far from where you stayed last night, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, if you do that, I'll be able to come and see you as you come through.
Yeah, I mean, we've already got, I've got a couple of people that are going to join. In fact, if you are free around the time, come and join us for a marathon.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I've got a couple of people who are already sort of, put their name down to come and join us for part of the route.
Absolutely. So what date have you got in mind for
we this? Are going to be embarking on this on the 14th of April.
14th of April, wow.
2025, okay. Yeah.
And, so yeah, that's not too far away.
Six months from the day that I announced it, was just a week or two ago.
Wow. So, training wise, because like I said, that's not 6 months. It's quite soon for such a long.
Yep.
So training wise, what's that looking like? Are you doing big, long runs, or keeping it short and consistent, or what sort of? How do you?
As I've previously said, I'm quite an impulsive person.
Yeah.
However, this is something that was on the horizon for a while. I wanted to do something.
Yeah.
So I didn't sort of overnight like wake up one morning like, oh, I'm just going to go and do the jog, or I'm going to go run the whole country.
Yeah.
When I made the decision to do this, and I made the decision it was going to be 6 months, I was already in a place where my fitness was in a reasonably good place.
Yeah.
So I'm already in good shape.
Yeah.
I'm already active. I'm in race condition, so I'm good.
It's just keeping injury free, I'd suppose.
That's
imagine.
A massive part of it.
Yeah.
And as for the training, I'm blocking my training out monthly. Yeah. I have a 6 month plan, as it were.
Yeah.
But things can change over time. Your condition can change. Injuries can pop up. So I'm not planning for six. I'm planning month by month.
Yeah.
And the idea is at the moment, I mean, if anyone looks at my current training, it doesn't look that remarkable. I'm around 100, 120 kilometers a week at the moment, which isn't phenomenal distance considering what I'm training for. However, I'm working from, I've learned from my mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, you don't say I'm going to run the whole of the UK, right? Okay. I need to be doing 200-300 kilometer a week. So let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to build to that.
Mm.
So over the course of the coming months, obviously my volume is going to increase significantly.
Yeah.
But I'm going to build on it, you know, in a way that's not going to put me in any risk of injury. Because injury is the biggest concern if you're training for something like this. Keeping the body in a place where you're not going to get injured, not overdoing it.
Yeah.
You know, because one injury can close the whole thing.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're looking at sort of slowly building the distance. I'm concentrating on strength, making sure that that is so important again to help prevent injury. And the other thing is recovery.
Yeah.
Right, getting your body to recover quickly, because when you're doing something like this, it's all right going to do a 100-kilometer race, and those that have done it, you know, you a day after a 100-kilometer race, you can feel beat.
Yeah, yeah.
So whilst I might not be quite hitting 100 kilometers a day, I'm going to be up at the sort of 80, 90 kilometers a day, and we're going to be aiming to go for 16 days. I need to recover quickly in those days. I need to get up the next day and be able to go and do it
again.
At the moment, I'm using recovery boots. I'm lucky enough to have a sauna at home.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous
of that. Yeah.
It's great. It is great. One of the best purchases I've ever made. It's fantastic. Cold exposure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, percussion guns, massage, everything.
Yeah.
Diet as well. Maintaining a high intake of protein.
Mm.
Yeah, all the things you might expect to try and maximize your recovery.
Yeah, yeah.
So, in a nutshell, yeah, gradual training, concentrating on gradual increase in mileage, concentrating on strength, focusing on good recovery.
Yeah. So you mentioned as well two marathons a day. Are you doing two separate marathons a day, or are you doing 52 miles?
Okay. What? The way that I've decided that I'm going to break it up is, I mean, again, you could take inspiration from others that have done it, look at how other people have done theirs. For me, I think the best fit is going to work it in a way where I break it up into four or five runs a day.
Right, okay.
So, you know, in an ideal scenario, yeah, everything goes to plan, which I don't expect it to because it never does. No. But let's say it all goes to plan. I'm going to 6 a.m. embark on a 20-kilometer distance, or just over 20 kilometers.
Yeah.
Stop, have some food, recovery boots, whatever, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Have an MOT of myself, make sure that everything's working, no niggles, sort anything out that needs to be sorted. Within 3 hours of starting at 6 a.m., I'm back out to start my next distance, my next 20, 25-kilometer distance. If I can get that done three or four, if I can get that four times a day, 12 hours, brilliant. Good time to have some food, sleep. However, in reality, I think we're probably going to be looking at 15-hour days. You know, as time goes on, the body wears down.
Absolutely.
I mean, looking at literally what I watched the documentary where the likes of Dan Lawson done it, and it always seems to be day six, seven that it really starts to pile on. So, you know, I think that's going to be the best way to break it up into sort of four or five runs each day.
Yeah. That's gonna be intense. And you're doing this for a charity. I've seen the charity on Instagram, but I'll let you sort of explain the charity itself.
Yes, I'm doing this. Obviously, doing a challenge like this is a fantastic opportunity to raise some money for a good cause.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be doing it for the Meningitis Now charity. Okay. This is a charity that's actually quite close to our heart. When I was young, I lost a cousin to meningitis, and it was an overnight thing. It's something, it was so quick. And at my age, I was only 9 at the time, but I was old enough to understand what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he was a very close cousin to us. Yeah. He was with us all the time. Part of the family. So that has always stayed with me. I mean, when I was young, I actually done a boxing match raising money for the Meningitis Trust, which was a different charity back then. Aside from the fact that it's a close family, close charity to us, it is an important charity.
I feel like it's talked a lot about. I remember growing up, like, we used to get leaflets about meningitis. We used to get taught about it in schools, and also, and like, it used to be on like the news quite a lot as well. Like, I'm not sure if like in the 90s was, you know, quite a height of it. I don't know, but yeah, I don't feel like it's spoken about as well.
It doesn't seem to get spoken about that much anymore. The problem is it's a disease that, whilst it might not affect as many people as so many other diseases, it's a disease that people, being aware of the symptoms, being aware of what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's one of them, you need to act so fast with it.
Yeah,
it's,
absolutely.
And the symptoms, they can represent so many other things. Yeah. Now, this is the thing, don't want everyone to start panicking, because this is the thing nowadays. Is it this? Is it that?
Yeah, Everyone's self-diagnosing.
You need to learn not to, just try to learn to not write these things off without having go to the Meningitis Now page. If anyone's ever any questions, go to the page, they'll give you all the information you need.
Things to look out for and things like that, not to overlook,
because it is a horrific, and it's a disease that can affect anyone.
I don't know why I remember as younger just thinking it was a child's sort of thing, because I think it is. Is it more common in children?
You're right. Yes, it is.
But
something
adults
that,
can still get it.
Absolutely, yeah. It does affect children. It is something that affects children more often.
Yeah.
However, anyone, it can affect anyone, and you know, it's a lot of people that survive it can lose limbs, and it's a horrific disease. It's not nice. Anyway, that's why I'm supporting this charity, because they,
Yeah, but, that's a solid reason to go for a charity like that. Absolutely. Mm. So going on to a bit of more of a lighter term, and I don't want to steer too far away from what you're doing. One original reasons I wanted you on is because you think you're, I'm not sure if it's your full-time career, but it's something I'm quite interested in. You deal in antiques.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It's
Tell me about that, because like I only know about it from like bargain hunting stuff like that. You know, just from a daytime telly perspective. That's all I know about. So.
Yeah, do you know what? Somehow managed to make a living out of it.
Yeah.
Because it's not an easy job.
I can imagine it's the sourcing of stuff and all that.
I'm fortunate in where I'm at. So anyway, let's go a bit to the start of that. Where was I? I had a cleaning company.
Mm.
And that was that was my business, and I've always had a love for vintage antiques and history and so on. And we were doing okay in our cleaning business. And so we got to a point where it was like, I'm going to run an antique fair.
Mm.
Like, why not? So why can't I run an antique fair? So with that, I started visiting a few local antique fairs. Okay. So book a hall. So I booked a hall.
Yeah.
I sort of like, okay, I need to get traders. So what I did, I actually offered... I went around offering people a stall for free.
Yeah.
Look, come here for. I was going to cover the cost of everything. I marketed this antique fair that I put on in a local church hall, and I invited lots of traders. Come and trade for free. You can have a pitch. Won't charge you.
Yeah.
A lot of people quite spectacle.
Skeptical.
Skeptical. Sorry. Yeah. But free. Anyway, I managed to win them around. We ended up putting on a really successful antique fair.
Oh, cool.
And with that, I'd kind of got my name on the map in that sort of network
circle
of people.
Yeah.
And through that, I ended up actually buying another antique fair,
hmm.
like one that was
already
established
running.
40 odd years old.
Oh, wow.
And from there, it grew into something that was like, okay, so I had the antique fair, and that was one day a week thing.
Yeah,
and I sort of started buying bits and pieces. When you're there, I roll up at 5 a.m.
Yeah,
and you're there before all the customers, your traders, so you get to see everything first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're walking around. Oh, you buy this, you buy that. Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
After a while, they'd turn up with boxes for me.
Yeah.
Oh, you like this tie? So anyway, I was sitting there one day and I was like, I've accumulated quite a lot of crap.
Yeah.
Like, I need to shift this.
Yeah.
So with that, I was like, okay, so we're going to the online selling. We'll start doing some online selling. And what should I do? I listed a few bits online.
Mm.
And for a while, nothing sold. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then one day, I forgot about it. Then one day, something randomly sold. I was like, huh, forgot about that. I was like, do I bother? I was like, okay. I was like, no, do you know what? No, I'll pack it, send it.
Yeah.
Took it to the shop, post office, stood in queue, posted it, off it went. That was, where are we now? 2024. That was 7 years ago. I've now probably sold around 40, 50,000 products.
Wow.
Online, and it's made a business of it.
Yeah, packed in the cleaning biz now.
Packed in the cleaning, it's now a full time business, and I love it.
Yeah,
it's like a full time treasure hunt.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm in a very good position to do this because I haven't got to go hunting around charity shops, and we do go boot fairs, this, that, but I am in a fortunate place in that where I have the market, where I have an antique market, I have a great connection to stock.
Yeah.
I have a lot of traders who know exactly what I want. Mm-hmm. We get clearances come up, so we'll go do clearances. But that aside, something else you might not be aware of, that's one side of my business. The other side of my business is actually working primarily in vintage Japanese import-export stuff.
Okay, I was going to say, do you have a speciality? Because I see on like all these shows, a lot of them do have like, I specialize in silver
We import from Japan.
Right.
And we deal with anything from kimonos, kakeshis, and all sorts of odds and ends from Japan. And
so is that like, if history, you said you're like a big bit of a history buff, is like Japan sort of, ain't like Japan's history sort of your
thing? You know, I'm a fan of all world history, but I have always had a fascination with Japanese culture. It's very interesting country, one of the oldest countries, recorded countries on the planet, as in like civilized countries that can be recorded back. They're one of the oldest on earth. Very interesting history.
No, it is cool. Like I do always think that's one of the world's biggest shames, is the burning of the Library of Alexandria, because otherwise it wouldn't be Japan. That's the oldest one we'd know more about, everywhere. Because that's one of my things. So the only thing I really know about Japan is like sort of summarized, from what's his name, the guy who wrote the Book of the Five Rings. I've got it upstairs. Mogasaki, he was a samurai, and he basically said, like, to be able to master like weapons and that, you also got to master like calligraphy and all this. Like, it was a proper, like, you got to be like a master of everything, sort of thing. So that's all I really know about Japan's history, is just through that. So where did that come from? Did it come from anything in particular, like a trip or anything, or just...
No, it actually came, I was introduced to someone just through the network of the business I was already in. I was already in vintage and antique, and I was introduced to someone who that was their job, working with, organising shipments from Japan in large shipping containers and bringing them over here. Then that was literally, I saw an opportunity for, that now is sort of half of what we do. But it just so happened that it was, I love Japan as a country. And it was all just a very interesting country.
There's one thing, actually, I'm now gonna assume all guests are gonna give me gifts now, because you gave me a pretty amazing gift. So Ty's got me a 2,000 to 3,000 year old Roman brooch, from the Mediterranean sort of area, and a
fibula brooch,
and a Viking cross. About 900 years ago?
About 900 AD.
900 AD, yeah,
so
sorry,
about,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. About, yeah, yeah. So just a little bit older than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kievan Rus.
Yeah.
That's it. I remembered you give yourself, when I put a few bits up online, I remembered you pegging them. So, oh, that's amazing. I know what you're like.
I'm big into my rope. Just being in Chester, it's a massive Roman city. Just always grew up with it. It's been fascinating. It started from, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on previous podcasts, Greek mythology. I was obsessed with Greek mythology as a kid, and then I just went to like Romans, and then you just learn more and more stuff, like what comes after and stuff like that. Assassin's Creed's got me into the old Viking stuff. We actually spoke yesterday. We were talking about video games quite in depth. We've got the same taste in games.
Massive video game fan.
It's
the only thing that I would put down as a vice of mine. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do anything recreationally that I shouldn't, but I do play a lot of video games. And I do give that some of, I'm a very busy, some people have asked me before, how do you get the time to do what you do? I manage a few businesses, I've got children, I do all the running that I do, and I also spend hours a week playing video games. In short, the secret is that I get up at 4 o'clock, and I'm usually in bed by 9:30. Nights, but I'm up early in the morning, and I will sit down for a couple of hours and play video games. Then I'll go out for my run. Then I'll come back and I'll get on my work for the day. And then it's school runs, and I don't really stop. But Video games. Absolutely love them.
So with the new, speaking of Assassin's Creed, the new one's going to be in Japan. Is that something you're excited with now that you're...
That actually does interest. It would be cool.
There's been a lot of like sort of Japanese based games, like is it Ghost of Tsushima? I don't have a PlayStation. I know you do, but what's it called? Ghost of Tsushima?
I think I know what you're talking about. I've got a feeling I played it.
Yeah.
And that was
that's meant to be really good.
I did play it. However, it was one of them games. I told you a similar story yesterday. It was one of them games I started playing.
Yeah.
Was enjoying it, but something I was waiting for came out. It's like, oh, that goes down. Here we go. Like, yeah. A new release comes out. It's like, yes, yeah. I'm waiting for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sadly, that sort of goes in the library for, yeah, go back to one day.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when I've played my seventh play for a Fallout.
What is your favourite Fallout? Because it's quite a big thing of some people are like, I either love New Vegas, 3 or 4, and then there's the subsection that like 4.
My favourite for playability is Fallout 4. It's obviously the most modern and easiest to play. However, my favourite Fallout has got to be Vegas.
Yeah.
The story in New Vegas, Mr. House. And it's just, what a great story.
I didn't realise Slattery died. Matthew Perry's in it, isn't he?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Matthew Perry's the main villain.
I know that. I do know that they often will put a lot of stars in that. I did not know that. Yeah. I mean, like, I know the, if I recall rightly, Fallout 3, the opening scene was Liam Neeson.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like
I have to go back and watch that.
I'm pretty sure I'm right on that. It's the dad, as you sort of born into the world, into the Fallout show, was Liam Neeson.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to replay it. Yeah. I think, what was I playing? I think 4 was the last one I was playing. I've completed it, but then I thought one day I want to play it for all the cheats that you get, like the you get the console, all the cheats on. I thought, all right, I'm going to just rip through it. It's not as fun, to be honest. But,
They're so replayable, though.
Yeah.
A lot of them, the Skyrim, the Fallouts. I tell you what, I don't know whether you've ventured, personally, I like Fallout 4, Skyrim, all the elders, they are games that I love. I can't get on with the online stuff.
No.
I just don't feel the same.
Yeah, no, I like the odd game of Call of Duty, but I can only play so many without getting bored. Yeah. Maybe do the daily challenges they have and then that's it, I'm done with the game. The most recent online game I do play is Hell Let Loose, which is very, very good. World War II game, hyper realistic.
Oh, okay.
Like one shot, you're done. Yeah. Like, it's, and half time you don't even see who shot you because it's just, and it's very sort of very war based, not just whoever gets the most kills wins type thing. Yeah.
I tell you what, that sounds like something that's frustrated me during the week. As I said to you, I've only just found out about Kingdom Come.
Yeah,
I can't believe I've missed this game all these years. And to be all fair, I'm really pleased I have because now I'm playing.
Yeah,
it. But great that game, you'll be running around and someone will shoot you with an arrow in the back or something. You're like, "What? No!" It's like, it's like, I'll leave it out. Come on.
I think I rage quit that a few times before going back to it. So.
Very difficult, frustrating game.
Yeah.
Enjoying it.
No, if you ever did want to get into an online game, Hell Let Loose is definitely one, because it's quite historically accurate in terms of battlefields and stuff that's happened. What's the one, that really famous bridge was featured on Medal of Honor years and years ago, sort of in PS1 days. I can't remember what it's called now.
Not sure.
It'll come to me later on. It'll be really, it'll annoy me. So sort of going back to running that. So are you going to include any races in your training at all, or are you going to stay clear from that and just do your own thing?
I think I might enter a few races more on a casual basis.
Yeah.
Not to go in and try and, PB or
more
a case of, it's like my wife, she's looking to enter a 50 kilometer race towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Which is, she's not allowed to have any crew or help or anything like that. So you know what? I'll just run with you. That way, I can just get a few runs in. Mm. I'll enter the race myself. So there'll be the little 50Ks. Might pop the odd 100 kilometer race in. The training that I'm doing, I'm not really. There's not really going to be any like 100 kilometer days in. If it is, it'll be a race.
Yeah.
The way that I'm prepping for the 847 sort of UK run is consistency.
Yeah.
Daily running, increase, yeah. So it's not necessarily going out to hit any big, long, single sort of
runs.
But yeah, maybe a few races.
Yeah. And in terms of your strength training, what is it you focus on? Cause I tend to just focus on like three sort of exercises and then that'll be it. So what's, because you get up quite early. So I noticed on your Instagram stories, you're like up at 5 a.m. most days in the gym. What do you, will that change with the training for this?
No, I'm naturally an early riser. But
yeah.
I'm always, I 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm out of bed. Even if I've got nothing planned, I'm out. But yeah, my strength training, I'm going to try and maintain a full body strength program. However, 70-30% split is going to be primarily working on my legs and core.
Yeah.
And yeah, my if I were to sort of narrow my exercises down, the compound lifts, squats, deadlifts.
Yeah.
Super important for anyone that's trying to maintain any sort of strength.
Yeah.
For anything you're doing, compound lifts, all your compound lifts. And then aside from that, lunges. Even bringing it, also bringing in a lot of sort of plyometric stuff, box jumps.
And yeah.
Short, sharp, powerful.
Power, yeah, you know, yeah.
Also banded work. So there is going to be a mixture of, you know, probably at the moment, I think, you know, legs are going to be 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah.
I do break my training up. I do. So I will do my, I will often do like my glutes. I'll often do like my glutes and hamstrings. Mm. And then I'll do my quads and calf. Quads, calfs.
Yeah.
On that sort of separate.
Okay. Yeah.
Break it up into a few different.
That's one mistake I've made in the past is leg day, target every single leg muscle, and then wonder why I can't move not the following day, but the day after that. You know. well, if you just broke it up a bit, then you wouldn't feel.
I took some really good advice off online with Stephen Scullion.
Yeah.
He actually put up some fantastic workouts for your legs. Starts off every leg session with sort of tiptoe walking, banded stepping sort of side to side. He's actually got some really useful videos on strength. Okay. So
what's his name again? Steve
Scullion.
Scullion. Okay.
Yeah. Was the Olympic marathon runner.
Oh right, okay.
So he's, yeah.
Oh wow.
But, yeah, worth checking out. Joe, this is the thing today as well. So I mean, I'm early 40s now, so I've seen the transition from the world of no internet to the day, you know, to now we have access to so much. This when I took up running, I immediately went online. It became all that graced the televisions in my home.
Mm.
YouTube videos of how to run. Oh, this zone, that zone, slow down, speed up.
But there
was so much information online.
Yeah. So much of it's conflicting as well.
There is a lot of conflicting. Yeah. So, take the information that's there and work out what works for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I think some people go off personalities and then base their entire like workouts and how they exercise on that person. Like, you know, lots of people like just absolutely love David Goggins and think, yeah, I can go and do what he's doing, or train to be like
this
him.
Is the thing. This is the thing. Yeah, I'd be like Dave Goggins. Great, you're not going to be like David Goggins.
No,
you're not going. Read what he does. You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
There might be one or two of you that. Yeah, but no.
Yeah,
take inspiration from it.
Absolutely.
Sure, but don't try and be like him.
Yeah,
because take inspiration from people. There's a wealth of information out there. Make it work for you. Make your own mistakes. If you can get through it all without making any mistakes, that's amazing.
But
I've learned most of what I've learned from getting the odd injury. Understanding the body.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Listen to your body.
Yeah. And going through equipment as well is what I find. It's like, you know, so many shoes I've wanted to, you know, have, but I just can't get on with them. Or I just know from, I didn't get on with this shoe. It's quite similar to this one that I want. So means I'm probably not going to get on with this shoe. It means I have to stick with this shoe, which, it's not aesthetically pleasing, but it works for me.
Yeah, you're spot on. And the thing with that is, again, like shoe reviews, there's so many shoe reviews out there.
Yeah.
And when I started out, I didn't know. I mean, I bought a pair of running shoes. I didn't know what trail shoes were. I went out on a trail in a pair of running shoes. I was like, this ain't right.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I need trail shoes. But and immediately it was go to the internet, see all these reviews and this shoe, that shoe. Yeah. I mean, they're so expensive, some of these shoes.
Oh, especially but now.
Ultimately, this is what I learned. And I believe that I'm right in saying that, do you know what? Shoe reviews, that's fine. You can give some information on how that shoe worked for you, but they're in each to their own type thing.
Yeah.
What works for someone might not necessarily work for someone else.
Yeah.
They really are something that you need to get comfortable with, and you will.
Yeah.
You'll build your.
One thing I wish these shoe reviews would be like, say, like this shoe was great for this, this, and that. These shoes may be suitable for you if you like, I don't know, the Innovate Mud Claws. That won't be suitable for you if you like the Hoka Speed Goats, sort of thing. Like,
yes, because there are similar shoes. You're right.
Some people don't get on with the Speed Goats, and I've only just tried the Speed Goats, and they're quite similar to the Brooks Cascadias, which I've worn for years. I've had the piss taken out of me quite a lot because everyone likes a beginner shoe. I don't care. Suits me.
It is what it is, yeah.
And then some people love hate with the Speed Goats, and I'm like, that's just a reskin of the Brooks Cascadia, so I quite like them. I wouldn't trust them over certain terrains, of course, but I like them. And it is that sort of thing of, if you get on with this type of shoe, then you'll get on with this. So I've said to people now, like Speed Goats, get some Cascadias, like, you know, just a backup shoe, or, you know, if they're on offer, because a lot of time they are on offer.
Yeah.
So
the first time I ever got 100-mile distance, I actually took a shoe straight out of the box and run 100 miles in it.
Oh, really?
I bought the Brooks Caldera 7.
Okay,
Which I really enjoyed the 6. I thought the 6 was a great shoe.
Yeah.
And I got the Caldera 7s. I took them home. They felt great. I went out and done 10 miles in them.
Yeah.
Now, what I didn't realise is that in the 7, they've changed the shape of the toe box. And both of my toes got sore, my big toes got sores on them. I was like, oh, I've got a race in like 2 days. This is what I was banking on these being the shoe for the race.
Yeah.
Obviously, I didn't give myself that much time. But anyway, I went back.
Apologies, that was the dog again. Bloody pigeons. So the Caldera 7, sorry.
Yes, so they obviously weren't going to work for 100 miles.
Yeah.
I went back to the shop. I was like, okay, these aren't going to work for me. We've just had the Hoka Speed Goat 6 arrive in today. They were released that day. I was like, okay, race is tomorrow. Now, I actually run in Speed Goat 5s quite a lot. They are usually my go-to.
Yeah.
So they've been a good shoe for me. And I thought, okay, the 6, I was like, do I just get a 5, the shoe that I know, or which would be the sensible thing to do, or do I get this shiny new Speed Goat 6? I'll get the Speed Goat 6. And they feel very different, by the way. I don't know if you've tried the 5 at all, but they are really different.
Yeah.
They're a lot firmer. The 6 is a lot firmer to the 5. The 5 actually felt really silky smooth.
Yeah.
I've used the 5s a lot. However, I've had plenty of races where I've still had to sort of change a shoe halfway through because it started to get a bit uncomfortable. Mm. So, yeah. But anyway, I put the 6 on and I go to the... race, it's the 100 mile. What was the race? 100 mile Centurion. Centurion South Downs 100 mile. So yeah, quite a hilly, reasonably hilly route, full trail, and beginning to end, great shoe. And then I again after I'd done the 100 mile, a few weeks later I entered into Sandringham race where I'd done 130 kilometers in there as well.
Yeah,
so good for me. But again, that's my experience with them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's how I work with them.
Yeah.
And I found them a good shoe, but...
Yeah. I wish brands wouldn't change their shoes so, like, so, you know, you said the fives are completely different to the sixes. I wish they wouldn't do that, because I know, like, with my experience of, like, say, when I first started running, I got the Brooks Ghost 10. They were, like, my first proper running shoes after destroying my feet and legs and whatever I bought from Sports Direct at, when I first got one. And then, yeah, loved them, ran them to death. And then the Ghost 11s came out, completely different shoe, wrecked my feet. I was like, what is this? So then that put me off then for ages. And it's just sort of like, if they've got a formula, just don't mess with it.
You know? No, you're right. Yeah. Just sort of like, they need to bring the new model out and we've got to check. I mean, sometimes it might not hurt just to bring the same shoe out, bring another colour out.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, this shoe was great. Everyone loved it.
Yeah.
We've not changed anything.
No.
It's not broken, so we're not going to fix it.
Yeah. For this year, it's a new colourway. It's the same shoe.
That's it. Yeah. You know,
because people will buy it. People will be like, I want that.
At the end of the day, if it works, it works.
Yeah.
You'll typically only buy a new pair of shoes when you need them. I mean, when I first got into it, it was like, I need to try that shoe. I want to try that shoe. And I sort of, spent too much money on shoes. But once you settle into the right shoes, you'll typically just go back and buy them.
Yeah,
I mean, they bring out the new model. You'll want to try the new model, but it doesn't need to be changed.
Yeah. So,
like, okay, what's this going to be like, kind of thing?
Yeah. I was scared because I had going back to the Brooks Cascadias, my first trail shoe were the 12 Brooks Cascadia 12. And I had them for years, like years and years and years. I didn't need to change them until the 16s came out.
Yeah.
So a few generations up, and I was dead scared about it. I was like, no, I'm going to go for Cascadias because I had other running shoes. Like, I had some Innovates and that, but I was just like, I want to replace the Cascadias for another pair of Cascadias because it's just good for like the terrain around here.
Yeah.
And then, I was really scared, but they're bang on. So I was pretty happy, but it's, No, it is. It's just sort of like, I kind of wish they'd just stick to that one formula. And
yeah.
So shoe on your jogger, what shoe rotation are you going to have? Do you know yet, or is that just something you're going to?
So
be a lot of road shoes, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, this is new. It's new territory for me, and there's very little to go off other than a few of the names that have done it. That have moved, there's no real blueprint. It's not like, it's the mileage that I'm going to cover over a short period of time. I'm going to guess that I'm probably looking at maybe four or five pairs of shoes. Not for the fact that I'm going to wear out four or five pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
But for the point of
rotation,
compression of,
Like you would in any training week, you don't wear the same shoes every single day. So.
As far as I know, it's probably going to be mainly roads. So I favour the currently the Brooks Glycerin.
Yeah.
They've always been a favourite for me.
Yeah.
That's what I do most of them on.
I think they're the Ghost, but with more cushioning, aren't they, the Glycerin? I think they've got... They're stability shoes, are they, those ones?
They're not.
No, they're not. No. Oh, right.
I can't remember if they do a stability version of them. Glycerin, they do a stability version of Glycerin.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
I like Asics for road shoes.
I've never tried a pair. I've had Asics in the past as a general pair of shoes.
Yeah.
I've never tried them as a running shoe since I've taken up running. Yeah. I'd like to.
They are decent. So I usually have the Brooks Ghost, and then I was lucky enough to win a few Instagram competitions, got a few pairs of Asics, and that's converted me now. But they're really, really, really good.
Okay.
I
mean, if Asics want to send us a few pairs,
they might.
I will wear Asics.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
worth contacting like companies, I think, because something you're doing, for a really meaningful charity, and that there will be some brands that will be like,
it's a good course, and it's a tough challenge.
Yeah.
And for me personally, what I'm putting in, it's gonna cost me a few quid to put this together out of my own money, but
sorry about that. Something else there.
But I'm taking a few weeks out of my time, you know, work and so on. There's a lot of organising that's going into this. I mean, we've got children, so organising childcare, we've got a dog, we've got to make sure the dog's looked after. You know, there's so much in the way of preparation in the background.
Yeah.
Let alone, I mean, at the moment, I'm probably training 12 hours a week, 13 hours a week, that's only going to increase in the coming weeks and months. I'm likely going to be up to sort of 20, 30 hour training week. So the time that I'm putting into it, it's no small task.
Yeah.
I'm not in any way underestimating
what I've put myself forward for. Or going in naively or anything like that. Yeah, no, you sort of,
understand for it, and I understand just how hard it, you know, I mean, some people that have done it might go, no, you really don't. You ain't got a clue how hard it's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's fair enough.
Because
they've done it.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm not underestimating it.
No.
It's going to be a challenge in more ways than just the run itself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, logistics, I mean, any outside help is going to be hugely gratefully received.
Oh, definitely come and run at least a marathon with you.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
And that goes for anyone, obviously, anyone else, while we're doing it, if we can encourage anyone to come and join us on the run.
Are you going to hire out a tracker, actually, now that I think about it? Or are you just going to sort of be on Instagram like, this is where I am? Or
I use a Garmin Fenix 7. That does have a live track option on it, but I'm not too sure how the battery will last in that if I'm doing it all day, every day.
Yeah.
So everything's going to be logged on Garmin and Strava.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also going to grab another watch as a backup.
Yeah.
And yes, I probably will try and get a tracker so that I can full live track the whole thing.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course, it's going to be completely updated probably every few hours on Instagram by me or one of the team that's going to be involved with the run. We'll try and make it as successful and as interesting, as possible.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you've mentioned your age a few times, you're not old, like, but I feel like you feel like. You're getting on, or
you're right. Yeah, no. Do you know what? That's actually it's a good way of putting it. Yeah, actually, I don't feel like I'm old. However, I feel like I'm at a point in my life where you realise, and I think a lot of people experience this, is you're not getting any younger.
No,
you can't go. You're if you want to do anything, now's the time.
Yeah,
you
know. It's,
I mean, I've always been a very proactive person. I've never been sort of a lazy person, if you want to put it that way. What I mean is, I've always been someone to get up and do something, and I've always tried to. I've never shied away from a challenge, as the years go by, it's sort of, you can only do this for so long.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, yes, I say that. I will quite frequently go. My early 40s now, because as a non-runner a few years back, I know that whilst I've been reasonably active throughout my lifetime, I wasn't to any extent an athlete, high-end athlete.
Yeah.
I definitely calmed down in my life as far as sports and activeness were concerned. A few years back, I wouldn't have seen myself running 100 kilometres, 100 miles, or running the whole country. It wouldn't have seemed the possible reality to me. I think that so many people get to my age. My age is where a lot of people have children, settle down, life. Yeah, they've got work and life sort of commitments.
Yeah.
And they write anything like this off. They write their possibility to join this or do. It becomes an option that's.
I'm too old for that now. Type.
You're not. You're really not.
Yeah.
You know, it's how accessible is this to you? I make the time. People say to me, like, "How do you get?" I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, now, at that time, I might be playing video games. I don't do that. I don't play video games every single day. I don't wake up at 4 o'clock. But, you know, I would also wake up, I'll get some work. I'm very fortunate in that I can work from home a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But that I'll get some work done.
Yeah.
Or I'll get a run in. You know, you make the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, how accessible is this to you? Well, you find that time, find a way, get out the door, just go for a run.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't, and also, God, comparisons to FIFA Joy. Yeah, don't compare yourself to other people. Don't look at what other people. Yeah.
There's people in a very different circumstances to yourself, so it's, there's no point.
I couldn't care less what someone else is doing.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm out running around the park and I'm running, I might be running a 20 kilometer and I'm being sort of chased down by people doing their 5K. I don't look at that and, some of them might look at you, he's running a bit slow. Like, 20 kilometers. But that's what you've got to remember. Forget other people.
Yeah. Because people's circumstances, like the circumstances are completely different. I know someone who he'll do 2 hours of work a day and that's him done.
Yeah.
Like that's all he needs to do. Does it from home and then he'll spend the rest day in the gym or swimming or running. And I do get jealous, I'll be honest. Like I'll see his stories and I think, wish I could just train all the time like he is. But then you say comparisons the FIFA Joy and it's just circumstances. I do get to run. Some people are physically unable to run, so I shouldn't what's the phrase? Look a gift horse in the mouth.
No, that's right.
Sort of like, yeah. So yeah, but no, I do think some people sort of maybe even late 30s I think do think, oh no, I'm too old to start running or do this, or and it's that old thing, oh it's bad for your knees, my knees aren't great and all that sort of stuff. It's like,
hey, look, do you know what?
Behave.
If you can't run, walk.
Absolutely.
Go out and do a kilometer. Go and do a slow kilometer.
Don't
worry about how it matches up to someone else. Don't look at someone else and think, I'm never going to get to this point. No, consistency. If you want to know what will get you anywhere in life, is consistency.
Yeah, absolutely.
Being consistent. That's the secret.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know, but I wouldn't consider myself anywhere near an elite runner. I'm a reasonable runner.
Yeah.
But 2 years ago, I wasn't a runner. And now I'm running 100-kilometer, 100-mile races.
Yeah.
And some of them I've won races. I've won ultra races before. Yeah.
You know, which one was that?
I won Sampahoe.
Oh, okay.
It was one down in the south of the UK. It was a 8-hour race. You run as many as you can. I think I've won a couple of them.
Oh, nice.
You know, But do you know what? This is the thing. It's not, I don't take it and go to my head, because at the end of the day, I was just lucky that a better runner didn't show up on that day.
Yeah.
And that's it. You know, sometimes winning is literally that someone better than you just didn't show up on that day.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%. But hey, like win's a win.
Yeah.
So cool. We've got a winning medal. I can celebrate it.
Yeah.
But I don't let it go to my head. I'm not, I'm no elite athlete.
Yeah.
But in a few years, like I say, I've done all that, and now I'm going to try and take on a huge challenge.
Mm.
And, whatever's a few years ahead of you, if you just don't write it off.
Yeah.
And don't worry about it if you feel like you're a million miles away from it. Just go out and start. And you don't have to listen to me and necessarily think that that's the standard, go and run 100 kilometres. No, go and run a half marathon.
Go and
run a 5K.
Yeah, I was about to say, park run's good.
Obviously, I'm talking about the extreme end of things.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's not where the standard is.
No.
You know, obviously, you see the extreme.
Yeah.
You know, but so many people don't make the most of what they could be.
Yeah. That annoys me sometimes, because I see people wasting, you know, they don't need to like get into running full time. They could just use it as a step ladder to finding a different type of fitness that they enjoy. Because not everyone enjoys running. People who are like, bed bound, who would love to just walk. just walk to the toilet. Just little things like that we take for granted. And that's what annoys me when I see people who are vegetates or stagnated. Who just don't do anything. That annoys me. There are people who'd love to be in that position.
And it's a great way to refresh your thoughts as well and your mind, and just keep your, I think it's great for mental stability.
Mm. Oh yeah, 100%.
Just, getting out there and getting your blood going.
It's
time to think. I have some fantastic ideas on my runs. If again, by the time I get home. Yeah, it's what we're built to do.
Yeah.
I mean, we humans are built to endure.
Yeah.
We are, as far as that endurance speed, as far, I won't quote this because I can't remember how accurate this was, but I believe that we are basically the prime species of endurance.
Mm.
There aren't, I think it was said that there isn't another species on the planet that could actually outlast us. They sure can outrun us for speed. And, but as far as a few days at a time, we were built to track and trail and hunt. And, you know, we were built to chase things down for days at a time, you know, to get our food.
So
endurance is in us. But we've just let it all rot away in the comforts of, you know, today's society. We're all spending too much time sitting playing video games.
That helps with is it hand-eye coordination. So that we're exercising in a different way when we play video games.
I mean, do you know what? You say that. I think there's actually a function on my watch for gaming.
Is there really?
They're on the Garmin.
Which one have you got?
I've got the Fenix 7.
Oh, okay. I'm 6.
Yeah, there is actually a function for gaming.
Wow.
Which I've been tempted to use a few times.
What does it do? What does it track? Like,
I've never used it.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm guessing if you're playing something that's really getting you going, you'll get your heart rate up. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to have to YouTube that, see if anyone's done it, like, just to see what they've done.
Yeah, no, I've never used it.
Yeah.
But yeah, apparently, according to Garmin, it's a sport.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So not a sport, but people do get paid a lot of money to do it these days.
Yeah, it's something you can be competitive in.
Yeah,
so.
Mad.
You don't know, work up too much of a sweat.
No, definitely not. So we've racked up to an hour, and you've got quite a long journey back. So I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I'll let you crack on. But it's an absolute pleasure.
And you on, mate. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's been great to meet you, and it's been. Yeah, great to share what I'm about to do. Talk about it with someone properly for the first time.
And we'll share more of it on Instagram and your updates and whatnot. We post in when I post this on my story, we'll post your link to the charity and everything so people can learn more about what meningitis now do.
Not something that everyone needs to sort of panic and have a meltdown about, but it's just something, again, have the knowledge, understand what to look out
absolutely.
For.
Absolutely.
Go check them out and you'll get all the information you need.
Yeah.
Thank you. Look forward to keeping everyone updated with what's going on. Come along and,
absolutely. Yeah, 100% doing that. Especially when you're around this area. But yeah, cool. Thanks for coming.
Oh, thank you.